Those of you here last week, remember that Pastor Don talked on a text from Luke chapter 13. And it was the story of Jesus being in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. And a woman who had been bent over, it says, for 18 years came to the synagogue. And Jesus healed her. And it did not sit well with the leader of the synagogue, because there were many other days in the week. And she could have come on one of those days and not bothered the people on the Sabbath. Jesus follows that up with a text for today out of Luke chapter 14. And I want to read that for our gospel today. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Now, if you notice that verses 2 through 6 were not included, but I'm going to read it anyway. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. It was the accumulation of fluids on the joints and the tissues of the body. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. And so when Jesus noticed how the guests that were invited to this meal chose places of honor, he told them a parable. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you, who has been invited by your host, and the host will invite both of you and will say to you, 'Give this person your place,' and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the gospel of our Lord. There needs to be two questions, it seems to me, as we consider our gospel for today that need to be answered. Number one, why was Jesus invited to a dinner with the Pharisees on the Sabbath? And secondly, why did he accept? I think the answer to these two questions can be found in that very first verse that I read from our gospel for today. At the end of that verse, it says, they were watching him closely. Last week's text, Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath day. It did not sit well with the leaders of the synagogue. Now, Jesus is invited to a dinner party at the home of a Pharisee. It's on the Sabbath, and they were watching him closely. You see, it was a trap. It was a setup. Jesus was invited to see, in fact, what he would do. Would he do what he did just a short time earlier, healing that woman? Would he now heal this man with dropsy that they had planted there on this occasion? Quite obviously, Jesus could, he would, and he did. And they were watching him. They were watching him so that they would gather further evidence against him to soon put him away, to do away with him. Jesus gave them plenty of evidence as to who he was. He had the moral courage not to bend his principles. Jesus had the guts to simply stand in there in the face of people who did not like what he was doing. And he would not camouflage his character. And so Jesus did what he was called to do. Jesus ministered, and he healed, even in the face of those who didn't agree with him. And so with that behind him now, he tells them this parable. The parable of the wedding feast. And when you're invited to a wedding feast, do not sit in the preferred honored place without having been instructed to do so, but sit lower so that you may not be embarrassed by having someone say, sit down here. Naomi and I attended a wedding yesterday. I was not the marrier. We were guests. It was one of the most beautiful weddings, one of the most beautiful settings here in Door County for a wedding that I have ever seen, that we have ever seen. It was attended by some 60, 70 people outdoors. We didn't know a lot of people there. In fact, I think we probably knew just the family that had invited us. A lot of extended family and friends of the couple. We did not know them. They had a legend that told you where you were to sit. Now, had we not looked at that legend, we probably would have said, well, let's sit with the father and mother of the bride, because they're the ones that are our friends, and we would have sat there, and then they would have had to come to us and say, Ken and Naomi, you're sitting in the wrong place. Why don't you go to table six where you belong? And we would have gone to table six very nicely. In fact, it turned out to be a great table, and we had a wonderful time. But he who exalts himself will be humbled, said Jesus. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, in spite of the underlying truth of that statement, I'm sure there were many people in the day of Jesus that did not believe that. And I am certain there are many people in our world today that do not understand the truth of that statement. St. Augustine, church father of the 4th century, said there are 3 basic Christian principles. Number 1 is humility. The 2nd is humility. And the 3rd, you guessed it, is humility. Humility. Some of you, my vintage or thereabouts, will remember a man by the name of Leo Durocher. Leo the Lip. He was a baseball player. He was a manager. He managed the Giants, the Dodgers, the Cubs. The most famous statement that we would recall from Leo Durocher is, "Nice guys finish last." Many people believe that. That if you're a nice guy, you're not going to get anywhere in this world. So you got to be brash. You got to be insensitive. Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." The words of Leo Durocher don't make sense today for those of us who know the words of Jesus. But there are many people who believe the words of Leo Durocher. Jesus said, "Those of you who exalt yourself will be humbled. And if you humble yourself, you will be exalted." I'm a Brewer fan. And I can only think of Ryan Braun. And how he tried to exalt himself in some unfair ways. I feel bad. But he has been humbled. The disciple Peter, in his epistle, said, "Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." That's what we are called to be, the embodiment of that kind of language and that kind of person. Humility. Many people would see humility as a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. For in humility, in true humility, it is understanding who God is and who we are as children of God and who we are as people who have received everything from God. And then in humility, we can be strong, not weak. Some years ago, there was a song. Again, my vintage. Some of you remember the song, and you could sing it along if we sang it this morning. Mac Davis, remember? Mac Davis song. Karen, you know the song, huh? Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Hey, that's the truth for a lot of people. Contrast that with another person who in history has gone down as one of the true great saints of all time, a diminutive nun, born in a small town in the Republic of Macedonia, spent the bulk of her life in India, working among the poor as a servant of God, helping, as they say, the living to stay alive while helping the dying to die with dignity. That's Mother Teresa. Her legend lives on. In 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And with that peace prize, there comes a banquet in your honor. And in 1979, that banquet was $25,000. What would it be today? She said to them, "Look, I appreciate the offer of the banquet, but consider how many people that could feed in India." They acknowledged that she was right. And so instead of having the dinner, they donated the $25,000 to her work in India. She who humbles herself and serves the Lord in that humility will be exalted. And as we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. And certainly the supreme example of humility is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that he was from God. Paul in Philippians says, he was from God, he knew that he was God, he knew that he would return to God, and that God had put all things into his hands. And yet it says Jesus emptied himself of all of that. He emptied himself. And he became one of us. He became a human being. He became a servant to serve us even unto death on the cross. We are to clothe ourselves in that same kind of humility, my friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ had, and so many other people have had. Finally, we are not to equate humility with timidity. We are not to be timid in the face of what God has called us to do and to be. But I believe Jesus was aggressive. He knew what his mission was. He knew what his calling was. And in humility, he met all those situations. Strong, faithful, to the very end. Always serving what his God and Father had called him to do and to be. May we live in that same kind of humility and strength through our lives. Amen.